We will now have our responsive psalm reading, Psalm 130, found on page 848. Out of the depths I cry for you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be worshipped. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In the Lord's word I hope. My soul waits
for the Lord.
Morning. More than those who watch for morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption. And the Lord will redeem Israel from all iniquities.
Our second scripture lesson comes from the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. It's in your pew Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, on page 759. Now, my guess is, if you didn't turn to that page and I read it to you, almost guaranteed an old song would come to your lips. And I'll let you figure out what that would be. So let us turn to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. And I would encourage you to follow along in your pew Bible. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." And he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11, found on page 147 in your New Testament in the Pew Bible. Hear these words. "To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. And since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give you life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. It seems during Lent that we have long stories. Today is no exception. This one, I hope, is familiar to you. You'll find it on page 98 of the New Testament in your pew Bible, the story of Lazarus. They're fleeing. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but though they thought that he was referring merely to sleep, then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to remind you of two important lessons, lines, if you will, from earlier scripture, from Ezekiel. "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." And also from the story you just heard, when Jesus said to Martha and to us, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? This is one of those rare Sundays, my friends, when all four of the lectionary readings, all of them, bring us to the same point. The focus is simple and profound and life-transforming and mysterious all at the same time. And the lesson is this: God can move you from death to life, even you. Think about that truth. Now, it may strike you as ironic or counterintuitive that on this Sunday, when we think about Jesus bringing life from death, that we will also celebrate the sacrament of baptism. Well, I believe that it is absolutely and directly related. Okay, so let's think about this idea of God bringing life from death. And here's my thesis. Here's my central idea. God can move you from death to life if you will make a full-in, bona fide, 100% commitment to Jesus Christ and then live a life that fully reflects that commitment. God loves you that much. "But I'm not dead," you say. Well, that's true. I've seen some of you sleep through my sermons, but you're not dead. But perhaps you can feel something akin to the following spiritual situations. Maybe this sounds true for you. Some people I know question their very lives. They wonder if this is all there is. They question why life hasn't turned out like their dreams. What is the meaning and purpose of my life anyway? Some people I know question the future of our church. Isn't ours a declining congregation? Dare I say a dying congregation? What will happen with our young people, you ask? How can our congregation grow and adapt to the mysteries and challenges of the 21st century? Some people question their ultimate future. What will happen to me in the afterlife? Where will I spend eternity? Do any of those situations sound familiar? I believe that the answers to all of these questions and situations can be found in the Bible lessons for today. When you call out to God for help, when you admit that you don't have all the answers, then God will reach out to you. And at that point, God can move you from death to life when you make a full-in, bona fide, 100% commitment to Jesus Christ, and then live a life that fully reflects that commitment. When you make that commitment and live that commitment to Christ, you will find meaning and purpose in your life. When you make that commitment and live that commitment to Christ, the young people all around you will see what it looks like to live a life of faith and service, and they will see you as a role model. When you make that commitment and live that commitment to Christ, then you can rest assured that you will have eternal life with Jesus starting right here and right now. When you make that commitment and live that full commitment to Jesus Christ, people will look at our congregation and they will want to have what you have, faith in Jesus Christ. The growth and vital life of our congregation will be guaranteed. In a few minutes when we celebrate Hadley's baptism, seeing that gorgeous little girl will remind all of us of the excitement and promise of a new life about to be lived. Courtney and Michael will make a commitment to this church and to their daughter that they will attend worship regularly and that they will raise her as a member of our congregation. And in turn, my brothers and sisters, all of us will make a similar commitment to Courtney and to Michael and to Hadley, that each of us will do everything in our power to help them raise Hadley as a disciple of Jesus Christ, surrounding her with love and support. And I ask you to please take this commitment seriously, because it is a profound and sacred trust. In a larger sense, this call from God to discipleship is a lifelong commitment. God has very high standards, but God will help you every step of the way. God loves you that much. I pray that you will answer this call and that you will rely on your brothers and sisters all around you here and on your pastor to help you figure out how to move forward on this path to new life. Here is God's promise. God will move you from death to life when you make a full-in, bona fide, 100% commitment to Jesus Christ and then live a life that fully reflects that commitment. Dear God, make it so. Amen.